you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders. If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am the most consistent motherfucker you know, Libertarian Tupac, Dave Smith. He is the man with a beautiful new studio.
We're building it out.
I like it. It is you. Every week it gets a little bit better than before. Of course, that voice you know and love. He is the fire, the king of the cocks, COVID Jesus, Robbie Bernstein. What's up, my brother?
Nothing much. I'm enjoying my weekend. How about you?
I had a very nice weekend. It's wrapping up. I'm looking forward to this week. And of course, at the end of this week, we will be up in Boston at the White Bull Tavern and Comedy Club. Very excited to get back there, doing a couple stand-up shows and a live Part of the Problem podcast. I'll be flying out from there directly to Arizona to go do some speaking and stand-up at the Arizona Libertarian Party State Convention. Looking forward to that. Got a bunch of shit. Then at the end of the month, we're going to be in Connecticut at that Libertarian Party convention. A lot of cool shit coming up. Also, I'm going to be at the California Libertarian Party convention, at the Florida Libertarian Party convention, the Minnesota Libertarian Party convention. I'm going to be at the Colorado Libertarian Party convention. I'm really going out to a whole bunch of these conventions leading up to Reno as the Mises Caucus ascends to its rightful throne. This is going to be a real fun time in the LP coming up over the next few months. So check all that stuff out. You got anything else coming up, Rob?
Buffalo with Sam Tripoli.
21st. Oh yeah, that's right. That's going to be, dude, that's a fucking great show. If you guys can go see Rob Bernstein and Sam Tripoli, that's a fucking awesome show.
Dude, I'm going to drink,
man.
So much in Buffalo.
Oh, you have to drink in Buffalo in the winter.
There's no other way to survive it.
You'll probably drink in Buffalo in the summer, but you must drink in Buffalo in the winter.
I was in Buffalo once when I was 18 and I was with my grandfather. And I remember just walking around the town being like, man, this would be a fun city to drink in.
Yeah, that's all those fucking upstate towns are for, they're for drinking. Yeah, that's what they're for. All right. So a lot of cool stuff coming up. Also, before we get into today's episode, real quick, RIP Bob Saget. That was really sad to hear that that news today. That really sucks. He was great. He was a lot of fun. And for people my age or around my age, I think he just kind of has a special place. Like, he was the guy who you first knew as the dad from Full House and then found out he was the rawest comic in America. And it's just like, yeah, He was great.
Dude, I remember in high school listening to ONA when he kind of started hanging out with those guys, and you found out, firstly, just cool to be as wealthy as he was and still want to be a comic and show up to ONA and just hang out like that. But I remember like driving into school, hearing him on ONA and just like being like, whoa, this is so cool. It's that guy.
Yeah, he's
a total douche.
Yeah, there was something so like amazing about like being like, oh, he's the dad from Full House, and then he's like also the guy in Half Baked being like, you ever suck dick for weed, you know? And like,
it was kind of almost like Bryan Cranston with Breaking Bad. Part of why that was so good was because you saw him from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yes.
But this was like that, almost like in real life, where it was wholesome dad, but it, like his real personality was filthy comic.
Yeah, I didn't know him at all, but I've also heard from a lot of different people that he was a really great dude. Like, but not like today, like the after someone dies, they say he's a really good dude. I've just heard that in general.
Right.
So anyway, really sad. Sad to hear that. Rest in peace. Okay. So few things that I wanted to talk about today. So obviously, I think the kind of biggest story in the country right now is that the Supreme Court is in the process of deliberating on two of the major mandates that have come out of the Biden administration,
I would say it's great news because these are principled people. They obviously must do their homework. And so obviously it would get stricken down, Rob, nearly instantly because all the data is that this isn't an emergency. So this is great news.
You're talking about people educated in the Ivy League universities in the United States of America. These people know what's going on far more than me or you. Far more. Like, can I tell you, by the way, there is this thing. I remember, I've mentioned this before on the show, I'm sure, but this was a thing that I used to say. It's not that when I was on SE Cup show, it's not that SE Cup ever said this to me. But I just knew, like, there was just this thing where we'd argue about foreign policy all the time and about the wars. And those were like my biggest, you know, like viral clips from when I was a part of the show. That was the best shit, is when I got to talk about the wars. It was during like, it was in 2017. And I was like a fucking, like a paid contributor on like this SE Cup, like one of CNN's stars, you know, like show. And it was really cool. And it was fun, even though it was a little bit weird. But I met a whole bunch of like the establishment type people, and it was like always doing these panels. I always had fun with them. But the cool thing was that I would get to sit there and really argue. Like, I got to be the Ron Paulian on the panel who was really like fucking just like whenever these things would come up, I would just like have, it was just great moments where I could kind of like dominate the whole thing, and no one was like really prepared for the arguments I'd be throwing at them. And I'd have these great moments, and like the clips would go viral and everyone would be agreeing with me. And I think on a lot of levels, like SE, and we'd talk about it after, you know, during the commercial break and then in the green room. And then like after, we'd talk more about the shit. And I think in a lot of ways, she couldn't deny that I was making really good points. Like there was always like, it was just hard to deny that I was making really good points. Back then, the big thing was the push for war in Syria. And, you know, it was just the case for war was so bad, and it was so easy to like slap it down. But there was this thing that she'd have where she's like, look, I'm SE Cup and you're Dave Smith. And like, I just got off the phone with like Dick Cheney's chief of staff, and he's telling me this is what the situation is looking like. And you just got off the phone with Big Jay Oakerson, who was talking about like his balls or something like that. So who's really right here? Like Dick Cheney's office or some jack-off comedian? Like, she never said that to me. But I think, you know, I think there was always like this kind of thing of like, so you're really telling me that you, this, like, you know better than the CIA. The CIA.
I get all my news from Jay's balls, and that's why I'm so well-informed. Well, actually, sometimes they know more than Jay when it comes to COVID stuff. No. Jay's
an idiot. But his balls are very wise. No, but you know, she's like, it'd be like, so you think you like some stand-up comic, you think you know more than the CIA and the Joint Chiefs and the, you know, JSOC and like fucking, you know, whatever, like the Pentagon and everybody, you have a grip on this situation better. And like, it's not that she ever said that, but I just like felt that vibe. And it's almost like my response would be like, I get where that doesn't sound right. Like, I get it. It's not that I don't get that. Like, yeah, that is kind of a ridiculous idea that some jerk off comedian knows better than all of the professionals who do this for a living. But yes, that's what I'm telling you. That's what I'm telling you, that I know better than what all of them are doing. And it's not like me. It's just that I know the right people to listen to, you know, and it's not them. And all of them are compromised or idiots or trying to deceive you. Like, that's the reality of the situation. And in a similar sense, it's there's something that, as we've said for this is a major theme of this show. It's not that we are great. It's a comment on how awful all of the institutions are, that you can actually get more value out of listening to us than fucking any of the people coming out of these institutions. And like the to watch the Supreme Court of the United States of America with all of these people who are, again, educated at Ivy League universities, the all of these people who have just excelled within this establishment, start to talk about this shit that we have been obsessively talking about for the last nearly 2 years, you know, to watch them was 21 months now, right? 22 months that we've been talking about this, to watch them start to talk about it and to just go, oh, wow, no, this is not an exaggeration. They have no fucking idea what they're talking about, or they're lying through their teeth. I don't know which one it is. It's one of those two. There is no other option. This is a binary. They either are lying through their teeth or they have no fucking clue that, you know, it's not very good options. It's one option is that these people are incredibly like unethical, dishonest people who will just lie through their teeth. And the other option is that they forget even like the fact that they're on the Supreme Court, just the fact that you're like an Ivy League educated individual living through the last 22 months in America, and you haven't been interested enough to like familiarize yourself with the basics of what's been completely overhauling the way of life in this country. Like the very, very basics. This has been quite something to watch. And so anyway, it's the OSHA mandate is what they're looking at. And what's the other one, Rob? It was one of the other big mandates.
It's the employer mandate. I don't know if that's the OSHA mandate.
Yeah, that's the one that employers with 100 or more companies must make sure they're vaxxed or tested weekly. And then there was one other one. It might be, I'm blanking on what the other one was, but it was two of the major mandates coming out of the Biden administration. And of course, there's a lot of politics involved in this too. Just having a big thing that you do fail at the Supreme Court makes you look very bad. But one of two things are going to happen here, particularly after some of the things that some of the justices are on record saying. Pretty much everyone except Clarence Thomas, I think, has made a fool of themselves in this case. Either they're not going to strike down these mandates, in which case I will say what I find to be very interesting about that. And I guess if this happens, we'll talk more about it. But what I find interesting about that is that it seems like almost the last institution that hadn't been completely discredited, according to your average Republican voter, will be discredited now. And because, you know, like, of course,
it'll be the end of people's vision for that we could have a working democracy.
Well, at least for the right half of America, you know, like not necessarily for the left half, but for
anyone who's awake on the COVID issue, who yes. just saw that our entire healthcare establishment and like institutions that you thought, if you were a fan of government, you would have thought the CDC, the FDA, the regulators are here for your benefit and safety. And you've at least learned like, oh, this entire thing could become corrupted and they can even institute policies that will make it that I can't go to work. You know what I mean? You just became very aware of, oh, this thing's not my friend.
Yes.
And it can become highly corrupted. But then if all of a sudden it's a president that you didn't vote in, you don't like, all the institutions are making up policies that don't make sense and are discriminatory against you and aren't benefiting your health. And then it can go to the Supreme Court and then they can rule against you based off of nonsense. I mean, what faith do you have in this thing at all?
Well, right. It's over. You know, I agree. And then I would just say more specifically for like, say, the Trump supporters, which, again, are not an insignificant number of Americans, not saying they're the only ones who matter, whatever. But, you know, you're talking about, what, 72 million people who voted for Donald Trump. So now you're looking at it as like, okay, so the president, you either is someone who you just despise or you don't believe was legitimately elected, right? The corporate press, you know, was completely against your guy for 4 years. You know, the FBI and the CIA and the entire deep state were working against him. Probably don't trust anybody, you know, like anyone in the establishment of the Republican or Democrats, you know, like none of them. And the Supreme Court might be the last kind of institution where you were like, well, at least Trump did put good people in there, right? You know, Trump really took over the Supreme Court and gave us some good justices or something like that. So that's one possibility that they don't strike it down. And then I suppose if they do strike it down, then it's a blow to the COVID regime, you know, legally. So we'll see. I'll tell you right now, I know there's a lot of pieces out there saying, oh, they're going to strike it down. I would not be confident in that. I don't think so.
Here's what's somewhat interesting about if they don't strike it down. If we were in a real pandemic, you would know people that died. You would know significant amount of people that died. This would have significantly affected your life, where you have attended 6 to 7 funerals, if not more, of loved ones that all died because of it. That's not the case for, I don't know anyone who knows multiple people within their social circle that died. I actually think.
I'd say just to justify the measures that have been taken, I think everyone would have to know multiple people. All right, guys, let's take a moment and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Headspace. I've recently found Headspace and I'm excited to learn about meditation. And I think you guys should be too. Headspace makes it easy to learn and maintain a meditation practice that will improve your mood and help you feel better. Once you've downloaded the Headspace app and use their meditation, mindfulness, and sleep exercises, it'll take just a few minutes a day to change your relationship with stress and anxiety, to start feeling better, from waking up happier to getting your mind ready for bed. We can't change what happens in the world, but with Headspace, you can learn to take control of your mental health and choose how you respond. With nearly 6 million downloads, the Headspace app is the most science-backed meditation app in the world, proving that meditation really works. A study shows that just 2 weeks of Headspace can reduce your stress by 14%. Whatever your situation, Headspace can help you feel better. If you're struggling with bedtime anxiety, try the Sleepcast, immersive bedtime journeys that change every night. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. Find some Headspace at headspace.com/POTP. That'll get you 1 month free of their entire meditation library. This is the best Headspace offer available. Go to headspace.com/POTP today for 1 month free of their entire meditation library. That's headspace.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show.
There was a stat in The Better Side of Our Angels, which was an interesting book about how violence has kind of gone down, even though the media tries to pretend like the world's gotten so much worse. I think, like, I forgot what the stat was, but maybe 10 in 100,000. Like, as a typical death rate, is when that means that it would be like a friend of a friend. You'd be like very aware of death or an issue or something along those lines. I read that book a while ago. Anyways, not that important to this point. I would venture to guess that 60 to 70% of the country only got this vaccine because they were threatened by their jobs. Because if you just look at the compliance rate prior to when, like, they actually did the government mandate, because that was at 50%. And I know multiple people that prior to the government mandate only got it because their employer was telling them. In other words, before there was a law, employers were already telling people that, okay, now how many people have no interest in a booster and know that they were lied to?
So that's an interesting point. I'll tell you that I was in, as you know, when my boy was born, I was in New York City, it was right when the vaccine passport had gone into effect, like within a couple weeks of it going into effect. And I went to a CVS to pick up prescriptions for the baby. And there was like a mutiny in CVS, a little mini mutiny, because it was taking forever for everyone to get their prescriptions. People were like yelling at the pharmacist and shit. Like, it was fucked up. It was like, people were like, you know, it was like an old lady, like, you told me you'd have these ready at 1 p.m. and it's 5. Where's my prescription? You know, like all these people, but there's like a bunch of them, maybe like a dozen people furious. And like, and the reason was because they said they were so backed up with people getting the COVID vaccine. And so just to say, it's like, yeah, these were people who hadn't gotten the vaccine the entire time. This is before boosters were a
right.
thing. This is people who hadn't gotten the vaccine the entire time. And it was just now that it's like, you're not going to be allowed to exist in this city without the vaccine. So they're finally begrudgingly getting it. And this is in New York City, one of the most highly vaccinated parts of the country. So I think there's a lot to what you're saying. Who knows what the exact numbers are, but there's something to that point.
But here's where it gets interesting. So if you both have people that are not in pandemic mode, right? They're not witnessing widespread death. They don't feel like they're that at risk for this thing. They also don't agree with the vaccine policy. Then the Supreme Court comes along and they make a decision that's not based off of good science, doesn't make a lot of sense. And now here's the big one. And then that decision starts really affecting a lot of people's lives, where they know people who are forced out of their jobs, or they can't get goods and services that they're looking for, or they're showing up to the hospital and it's understaffed. There's going to be a lot of people that are upset about, I'm saying, the entire workings of our country, of what happened here. Like, if it starts really affecting people's lives, which it is, I mean, how many flights have been canceled? How many situations are there in hospitals? And then the biggest kicker is, I mean, does the media continue just to report on that? I don't know. I guess the pandemic is so bad that that's why the supply line issues, and it's not a labor thing. So maybe they're able to cover the whole thing up, and so people don't realize who the real culprit is. But I just think that this is so removed from reality and might have actual consequences on people's lives that a lot of people are actually, you know, what the fuck?
Yeah. And it's here's the thing, too, that there's another thing that's happening, which is, I think, and this is where the Omicron is really. And I think this is why you see a lot of the people in the establishment getting frantic about this, which is not necessarily a good thing, but could be a good thing. You know, it's one of those could go either way type things. You know, it's like if you're in a fight and your enemy is getting, you know, your opponent's getting frantic, it's like, well, he might be trying to knock you out now, so that's dangerous, but he also might expose himself, so that could be positive. But one of the major problems that, so I was on Kennedy the other night, and the Democrat lady on the panel just repeats the line. It's like, it's almost unbelievable that they'll still say things like this. But she just goes, look, we know if you're vaccinated, you're not going to get very sick or be hospitalized or die from COVID. And it almost like took me, like, I guess I probably should have had a better response. I mean, I went off on a whole rant on how, you know, all the bullshit, and I think it was decent, but I'm almost like, the gall of you to like say this, like, what would be the equivalent of me on the other side? Just saying that, just like saying, like, if you have the vaccine, you won't be hospitalized with COVID. That can't happen. Like, I don't know. I almost feel like this would be on the level of me just being like, dude, that's, COVID isn't a thing. People don't get it. You know, like, you're just denying, you're just going to like pretend that nothing's changed from what the talking point with the original alpha variant was, which wasn't even true then, but you're just going to pretend that that still applies right now. Really? So, but the more they say things like that, here's where what you do have a problem with, right? It's not what you said. It's not that people know multiple people have died, but at this point, with as fast as this variant is spreading, a lot of people know multiple people who were vaccinated and boosted and got it and got sick and gave it to someone else.
And by the way,
That's happening a lot, dude. I just heard a story the other day about this. These kids that were at a party, is a friend of the family, like a friend of my mom's family, one of their kids. So a college student was at a college party where everyone is vaxxed and boosted because they have to be in college. And there was an outbreak in every single person at the party. It was like 25 of them. Every one of them got it. There was not one of them who left without it. And it rained. No one, like, from what I know, like, died or anything, but they all got sick. You know, what you'd expect from college kids. These are, you know, fucking 20-year-olds or whatever. But every one of them got it. And so it's not as if that vaxxed and boosted can't get it or can't spread it.
It would have gotten sicker, Dave. It would have been worse.
Well, that's right. So I guess that's
where
they'll
go. You just have to have some faith. It's the Lord. Just a little faith.
Which is such a ridiculous thing when you go like, well, look, these are like young people. Like, how can you really say this would have been worse when it's already, this is just about what you'd expect from COVID? Who knows? You know, we, again, these are counterfactuals that no one can prove or disprove. But anyway, so this is something, this is what's interesting about this whole thing too, is that people are also realizing they can only know so many. And what I'm seeing more and more, and I'm hearing more and more from people, and who knows, you know, exactly how much you can extrapolate from this or what level this is going on at. But what I hear more and more is that there is, which, you know, it's hard. We're all, as human beings, we're all trapped and somewhat limited by our own perspective, right? Like, you have your perspective and you project that onto other people, but it's hard. The more adult thing and the more difficult thing intellectually to do is to take yourself out of your perspective and actually try to, you know, be in someone else's, which is challenging. But what I've heard more and more from a lot of people is people who are fully vaccinated and boosted or whatever, up to date vaccinated or whatever the term is now, and get it and get sick, and that they're outraged. You know, they're like, man, I was fucking lied to. Like, this is such bullshit. And you got to think there's a lot more people like that being created. That's a really interesting thing, that even the people who were pressured into doing this are like, man, this was all bullshit. Because you got to think, these people were sold a bill of goods that me and you didn't buy, but they did buy it. And that's a whole different type of like outrage when you did buy that bill of goods. And it's like, but I was told this is it. I get to go back to normal life and I can't get it now. So a lot of people who bought that and they're waking up.
And they're being told that they got to vaccinate their kids after getting sick and boosted and reading about the fact that their kids aren't at risk. They're being told that they have to vaccinate their kids. Believe me, more and more people are waking up to this thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. OK, so probably my guess is our next episode will be a lot about what the result of this Supreme Court decision is. In fact, by the time you're hearing this, it might be out already. So I apologize if that's the case. I promise you, we'll cover it a bunch on our next show if the verdict is out.
I think we should read how uninformed some of our judges
are. Well, let's do this clip first, and then I want to read those things, because we get into some of this here. So what I did think was so interesting was on Fox News Sunday, we're recording this on Sunday. The episode will be out Monday and then for everybody Tuesday. But so this happened earlier today. So the CDC director was interviewed by Brett Baier. And this was a really fascinating interview. And I almost, look, I'll just preface it by saying I'm like, I can't stand either of these people. And what I see here going on is Brett Baier pretending to give a tough interview, because he feels pressure from the Fox News audience, because there still is a little bit of a marketplace left and they still need to at least convince their people that they gave a tough interview, although just completely letting her off the hook. But I don't even need to preface this lady. Like, you tell me, as we watch this and go through it, you tell me, this is the director of the CDC. You tell me if this is somebody who is there to give you scientific information about how to control disease, or if this is a political actor there to make a political case and cover for one side of the issue. Honestly, I don't even want to poison the well anymore, because I will poison it as we go through this well. I will drop little bits of poison in the well. This will be a very poisonous well by the time you drink from this well. But let's start playing and go through.
Well, you're just joining us now, CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky. Dr. Walensky, welcome back to Fox News Sunday. Good morning.
Good morning, Brett. Good to be with you.
You know, you just heard about the U.S. Supreme Court currently deciding the fate of the president's vaccine mandates. In the questioning, Justice Sonia Sotomayor made this statement.
We have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators.
Now, we can find from Friday suggests there are fewer than 3,500 current pediatric hospitalizations from COVID-19. Is that true?
Yeah, but, you know, here's what I can tell you about our pediatric hospitalizations now. First of all, the vast majority of children who are in the hospital are unvaccinated. And for those children who are not eligible for vaccination, we do know that they are most likely to get sick with COVID if their family members aren't vaccinated. So the most important thing we can do for those children.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. Like, you tell me right there, is this somebody who is from the neutral Center for Disease Control, who is here to give you information and better inform the American public, or is this a political actor? That you have, he plays a clip that a Supreme Court justice said, we currently have 100,000 children seriously ill, many of them on ventilators. She said 100,000. He goes, the actual number is 3,000. Isn't that like crazy misleading? Like, obviously it's a blatant lie, but isn't that? And she goes, well, what I can tell you is that they really should be vaccinated.
She's arming him.
Like, but isn't that right away where you go like, no, but I just, the question was about what this Supreme Court justice just said. That I am sorry, like, come on, man, in any situation, like for anyone still in this COVID matrix, break out of it for a second. If anyone ever said this about any situation ever, they go, the number is 3,500. She said 100,000. Isn't that completely wrong? You go, well, it is still. They really got to get vaccinated. Really got to buy this product from these pharmaceutical companies. That's all I'm telling you. Really got to take it. Just take your, like, come on, man. Like, these are the people who will get, tell you, like, follow the science and all of that shit. Like, this is just... If you wanted to convince people you were trying to be scientific about this, then just be fucking, don't be like, okay, fine. Follow the science. Okay. Maybe if you weren't a dishonest piece of shit, maybe I'd think about that for a second. But what honest person responds in this way? Even if you feel this way, even if you feel like kids should get vaccinated, wouldn't you at least start with like, yeah, those numbers were completely off. Like, just so you know, oh no, there's actually 3,500. Kids who have been hospitalized. And by the way, what percentage of them are not hospitalized because of COVID, but hospitalized with COVID? Well, probably at least half, at the very least. Okay. So now take that 3,500 and you cut that down to whatever, you know, what's half of 3,500, 1750 or whatever. Is that math right?
Sounds right.
Okay. Something like that. Right. So, okay. And then, by the way, what percentage of those kids are on ventilators? Probably a very small percentage of them. And oh, by the way, what percentage of those kids are severely obese or have some other comorbidity or something like that, or not comorbidity, have some other, you know, crazy underlying health condition? Probably all of them who are on ventilators. So to say it's 100,000, many of them on ventilators. I mean, come on. That is so fucking dishonest. You would call this out if this was whatever your politics are, if this was something you were against and someone blatantly lied and manipulated information like that, you would be like, come on, that is fucking bullshit. So admit it here. At least just start by admitting. You'd have more credibility if you just admitted it.
It's funny because I wasn't even going to pick up on the fact that you're right. She totally ignored what he said just to reframe the narrative of, but kids are still at risk. I would love to know where she got that data from, because she makes two statements there. The first is that the majority of kids in the hospital are unvaccinated. Now, what percentage of kids in New York are actually vaccinated? Is it because not a lot of them are vaccinated? Like, do you actually have evidence of the fact that the vaccinated kids are significantly
right
more
so
protected?
just to like explain this clear in case anyone's not following, because that's a really great point. If 20% of kids are vaccinated and 20% of the kids hospitalized are vaccinated, that would be indication that the vaccine does nothing, right? But you could also spin that as saying, well, most of them aren't vaccinated, but that doesn't actually mean anything. You would expect the number to be like drastically lower than the percentage of that population, and who knows if that's true or not. So
and then the next thing she said has to be certifiably false, and the claim is that most of the kids in the hospital got sick because of their exposure to unvaccinated people. How can you possibly prove that? So you've traced back that, like, so there's a higher percentage of sick kids in the hospital with unvaccinated parents. So what, like, what documentation do you have for that? So people are coming to the hospital and then you're finding out the vaccination status
of their parents.
And now, wait a second.
Or so who they actually got it from. How do you even know they got it from their parents?
And so all of us, I didn't realize, because usually I can't even get breakthrough numbers of vaccinated, unvaccinated. Now what you're telling me is that the record keeping is so good that if a child comes to the hospital, you're actually finding out whether or not their parents are vaxxed or unvaxxed. And then you're also tracing it to their parents. Now, as to how someone is allowed to get on the news, say that they're a scientist, the head of our organization for making these decisions, and then just say, like, there needs to be some sort of a court where you have to back up these claims. You must have data. And if you do have data, I'd love to see it.
Why can't we see it? Why can't anyone else see this?
Because those
data?
Those are two very, very bold claims.
And of course, if Brett Baier was at all competent in his job, that would be the next question. Well, or one of the two questions. One, what he asks is more like what I was getting into. But wouldn't that be one of the questions there to be like, wait, how do you know that? How would you possibly know that? There's no way you know that. There's no one brings a kid, let's say even in the case where the kid has COVID and is sick enough, in the outlandishly rare case that a kid has COVID and is so sick that they need to go to the hospital. You're telling me they check the vaccine status of the parents? And then even if that were true, how do they know that that's where they were exposed from their parents? How do they know who they were exposed to? I mean, this is like it's such an obvious lie that they could tell you they know this for sure.
And there should, I don't know the procedure for this, but there should almost be a Supreme Court mistrial if one of the judges is this misinformed.
Yeah, either. Well, how can you possibly judge this case?
Like, how do you just have information that is 100% wrong that you're willing? First is, there should be more of a discussion about emergency powers. I don't fully understand why government has these emergency powers. What is the criteria for establishing that something is an emergency? Even if that 100,000 was true, is that what specifically is the law at which you can declare something an emergency that government is then able to restrict people's rights? Well, but then to even just have wrong evidence to suggest that something is an emergency when it's not, and then make a ruling off of wrong evidence.
To be clear, Rob, it's not as if one side of this case submitted this evidence and it wasn't challenged. The Supreme Court justice herself just offered this into the record, like just speaking with authority and saying, we know that, look, this is what we know. Well, actually, no, we fucking don't know this.
Also, the stupidity of that, even if that was true in New York City, that wouldn't mean that it's evidence that the entire country is about. Yeah. Like, it could just be that New York City has some freak. Like, you would really have to do your homework to go, is this going to happen everywhere? Is this some freak occurrence in New York City? I'm saying if the 100,000 thing was true, you would have to pull a scientist in and go, is this going to happen everywhere? Yeah. Is this truly an emergency? Are there any other causes? It just showcases the fact that we are not in a free country. And if you had any faith in that there was some sort of a Supreme Court that once it got there, there were actually rules and laws and that they were going to evaluate things, you're seeing firsthand that the propaganda goes all the way there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Moink. Do you love bacon and steak? Because I sure do. And let me tell you about Moink. You got to go over to moinkbox.com and you can get the best grass-fed and grass-finished beef, lamb, pasteurized pork, chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon delivered directly to your door, helping family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. That's just one of the benefits, but the main benefit is just getting delicious meat sent right to you. Their animals are raised outdoors, their fish swim wild in the ocean, and Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugars, and all the other junk you find in prepackaged meat at the grocery store. Sign up at moinkbox.com/POTP to get a year of bacon for free. And then pick what meats you want delivered on your first box. Change what you get each month and cancel anytime. I'm telling you, this stuff is incredible. You're really going to love it. Moink was founded by an 8th generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said it's the best bacon he's ever tasted, and I agree. They guarantee you are going to love this stuff. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/POTP right now, and listeners of this show will get free bacon for a year. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste for a limited time only. That's moinkbox.com, moinkbox.com/POTP, moinkbox.com/POTP. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's keep playing.
Keep them out of the hospital is to vaccinate them and to vaccinate their family members around them.
Understood, but the number is not 100,000. It's roughly 3,500 in hospitals now.
Yes, there are. And in fact, what I will say is while pediatric hospitalizations are rising, they're still about 15-fold less than hospitalizations of our older age demographics.
Do you have a number of children?
Oh, by the way, all right, let's pause it right there. Hold on. Let's pause it right there and then just bring it back a few seconds when we go back to play it. But even when she says there, they go, they're about 15-fold less than hospitalizations of older people. Now, one thing to just keep in mind here, okay, because this is where the numbers, they just won't give you the real numbers on this, which we'll get into in a second. But kids like go to hospitals a lot now old people do too, of course, don't get me wrong, but kids go to hospitals a lot because kids break bones a lot more. Kids have accidents a lot more. It's just because they live like kids, not because they're more frail. Because if me and you did the things that kids do, we'd go to the hospital all the time too. Like if me and you climb trees, we'd be like,
hey, let's fall down these stairs for fun.
Yeah, like exactly. Right. So you're like with kids, like what percentage of these kids are going because of COVID? That's the, you know, if you don't know that, then you're really just like, these numbers mean nothing. But when she says older people are much more likely, 15-fold more likely to go to the hospital because of COVID or with COVID, again, we don't really know. But you know what older people are also much more likely to be? Vaccinated. And so, of course, we don't want to talk, we won't talk about it in that direction. You know what I mean? If you go, oh, well, here's a more vaccinated group, a substantially more vaccinated group who are 15 times more likely to go. Well, that's not evidence in one direction. But if kids are going, then that's evidence that an unvaccinated group of people are going. So you see, this is the completely anti-scientific bullshit trickery. All right, let's keep playing.
Less than hospitalizations of our older age demographics.
Do you have a number of children on ventilators?
I do not have that off the top of my head, but what I can say is I don't believe there are any in many of these.
That sounded to be the most untrue statement by the judge. I can't imagine that because the ventilators don't work all that well. You'd be
here's the thing. They, at this point with COVID, they do not put you on a ventilator unless it's really, really bad.
Yeah, so like how many kids could possibly be on a ventilator in New York City?
The numbers, there's a reason why she doesn't have the numbers and she won't tell you the numbers, because when Justice Sotomayor says that we have 100,000 kids severely ill, many of them on ventilators, the number is going to be so low that it would be just humiliating for her to have put it that way. And then the other thing about it, and this is, you can look into this stuff. I it's very hard to get the data on this.
It's one, and the kid didn't have lungs.
Yes. Of the incredibly small amount of small number of children who get very sick with COVID, and even if they're the ones who are on ventilators, whatever that very teeny number would be in a country of 300 million people, or 320 million people, you know, you're probably talking about 15 or something like in that ballpark. The amount of them who are like severely obese or have like severe underlying health issues. Now, by the way, I'm not saying those kids don't matter. I'm just saying like give people the actual picture here, so they're not worried that their kid is at risk for this. You know what I'm saying? Like if there was something that kills people who have like a hole in their lung or something like that, it doesn't mean that doesn't matter. We still don't want that person who has a hole in their lung to die, but don't make everyone who doesn't have a hole in their lung think like, oh my God, I'm at risk for this happening to me. So that's the point. And they will not tell you that, but that's the reality of the situation here. And it's so fucking evil because it's like you're trying to convince people to give their kids this vaccine based on this bullshit. And you know it's bullshit. Like, this woman isn't actually this dumb. She knows when she hears Sotomayor saying that fucking 100,000 kids are severely ill, many of them on ventilators. She knows that's bullshit, but she wants people to get vaccinated. So rather than just call that out for the not, believe me, if that was in the other direction, if that was disinformation in the downplaying of COVID, she'd call it out right away because she wants people to get vaccinated. So she will allow that to kind of sit there, they give it a very half-assed rebuttal so that you're scared about your kids. And I will tell you, particularly as a parent who's got two young kids, there is, I can't tell you how much contempt I have for people who would use fear of your kids' health to try to like manipulate you into doing something. It is something, fear for your kids' health, which is something I've been, you know, I've dealt with quite a bit over the last few months. I just can't tell you how evil it is to try to play off that to achieve your political ends. There's a special place in hell for people who do that. All right, let's keep playing.
So really, the highest risk of being on a ventilator if you're a child is if you're unvaccinated. We also have recent data out.
Pause it again.
That's demonstrated that dangerous.
Pause it again. I would love to see, if you're going to say that, if you're going to fucking say that the highest risk if you're a child to be on a ventilator is being unvaccinated, I'd love to see some numbers compared to like being severely obese and vaccinated versus a normal healthy kid and unvaccinated. And if you don't have those numbers, then shut the fuck up and don't say that because you don't know that that's true. There's no one is making, come on, man. You show me what percentage of kids who are healthy end up on ventilators from COVID. And then tell me that the factor is the vaccine. That is fucking bullshit. That is absolute bullshit.
It's also highest risk is kind of, even as it is, tricky language, because you could have, let's just say 0.0001% of kids die to COVID and 0.000, like just one more zero. And so they're at higher risk. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but you're not really talking about a lot of risk.
To his credit, Brett Baier, I think, uses the number at one point. Well, here, let's keep playing.
ISC syndrome that we're seeing in children, 91% protection if you've been vaccinated.
But the risk of death or serious illness in
children. Higher risk for myocarditis,
right?
Comparatively, the risk of death is small, but of course, you know, children aren't supposed to die. So, you know, if we have a child who's been, who is sick with COVID-19, we want to make sure that we want to protect them, of course.
Right. But I'm talking from your data, ages 15 to 24, for example, the risk of death is at 0.001%. I guess what I'm getting at in this opening is that the Supreme Court is in the process of dealing with this big issue about mandates. And do you feel a responsibility as a CDC director to correct a very big mischaracterization by one of the Supreme Court justices?
Yeah, here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that right now, if you're unvaccinated, you're 17 times more likely to be in the hospital and 20 times more likely to die.
So just pause that right there.
Than if you're boosted.
Yeah.
And so what?
Go ahead, Rob.
This lady is all right. She's supposed to be a scientist, and she's supposed to be sharing data and making decisions around data. And this is world-class sales. Her ability to smile, nod, ignore what you're saying and go, well, I'm just here to let you know that as long as you get vaccinated, you'll be safe because you're 17.
Lady, you're a fucking vaccine saleswoman. Like, that's what you are. And don't fucking pretend to be anything else. He literally, don't get me wrong. If a justice had said anything downplaying this, don't act like you wouldn't have taken that opportunity to correct them. He goes, this fucking lady said there's 100,000 children. Like, again, I guess just being a parent, like, I just have like a reaction to this. Like, what she's saying is that you should be scared for your children. You know, it's a very powerful thing to tell people who have kids. and a very powerful thing to play off of. And she says 100,000 kids are seriously ill and many of them are on ventilators. And you're like, lady, the number is 3,500 and almost none of them are on ventilators. Come on. Don't you as the CDC director feel a responsibility to tell, like, correct the record on that? And she goes, well, I can just tell you, you got to take your vaccine. Oh, really? That's what you'll take this opportunity to do. All of the people who have gotten, like, fucking, by the way, banned, ruined, all this shit for telling the truth, let alone giving misinformation that downplays this. Oh, but that shouldn't even get a rebuke from the director of the CDC, let alone you lose your job or get fucking banned on social media or some shit like that. Well, all right, let's keep
going. That's some high level smile, nodding and ignoring. I'm telling you, that is high level shit right there. That is not easy to do. I don't have it in me.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you got to be like a real sociopath piece of shit to be able to just fucking smile and not through that. Not just feel it. Not just like, oh, that hurts my soul. Okay. Yeah.
My responsibility is to provide guidance and recommendations to protect the American people. Those recommendations strongly recommend vaccination for our children above the age of 5 and boosting for everyone above the age of 18 if they're eligible.
Speaking of statistics, it seems to make a big difference if a person in the hospital is in the hospital for COVID-19 or with COVID-19.
Oh my God, it's a conspiracy theorist. You're not allowed to say that, Dave.
We have that split on numbers.
You know, what I will say is it differs by each variant. So some variants, first of all, we're doing screening of many.
Can you pause? If it differs by variants, that means the CDC is acknowledging that they've had this information since the outset. That is an admission that since the outset.
How would you know it differs? How would you know it differs if you don't have the numbers? That's a very good point, Rob. But also, of course, that is not an answer to his question. You know, his question, which is like, if anyone wanted, I mean, if anyone cared about following the science, you want to know what the hell's going on here. There'd be a lot of numbers you'd want to know. And this one would be right up at the top of the list. Like, what are the actual hospitalization numbers? Because no one really cares about the number of people who broke their clavicle bone and went in and got tested. And they were like, oh, you have COVID. And they're like, that's weird. I've had the sniffles. You know, no one cares, which is a lot of people. No one cares about those people. What we want to know is what we all want to know, because we're not pretending COVID doesn't exist. We're not like the caricature that they fucking make of us. Like, but what we want to know is how many people had COVID and were so sick with COVID that they had to be hospitalized. And so he goes, do you have those numbers? And she goes, well, we know it's different with every variant. That's not an answer. Although, as you point out, it is an implicit answer that you must have those numbers to know that it's different with every variant. But that's not the question he's asking. What he's asking for is like, what are those numbers? Because we obviously know you put out these numbers that include all of it, but that's not really the accurate shit. And by the way, the other point you made as they were talking, which is a really good point, is that so much of this shit, it's like, I mean, I'm not exaggerating when I say 3 weeks ago, you would have been a conspiracy theorist to even be talking about this shit. You weren't even supposed to talk. The hospitalization numbers were the hospitalization numbers. But now all of a sudden that's completely fine to talk about all of this stuff. Now all of a sudden, like, all of this is just, oh yeah, you'll just see it on Fox News Sunday. But so he asks her, let's just get back to it to play how she responds. But so he asks her, like, what are the real numbers versus this? Do you have those? And her answer is, it's different with every variant. Let's keep going.
Hospitals of everybody who's walking in the door. What we're seeing with the Omicron variant is that it tends to be milder person by person, but given how large the numbers are, that we're seeing more and more cases come into the hospital. In some hospitals that we've talked to, up to 40% of the patients who are coming in with COVID are coming in not because they're sick with COVID, but because they're coming in with something else and have had to COVID or the Omicron variant detected.
Right. But I guess, do you know how many of the 836,000 deaths in the U.S. linked to COVID are from COVID, or how many are with COVID, but they had other comorbidities? Do you have that breakdown?
Yes, of course. With Omicron, we're following that very carefully. Our death
rate. You got to stop.
She ignores it once again.
That's a very important question, which is you're now admitting that there's a difference between with COVID, right? And so
again, this was the shit that would get you banned off Twitter last year for talking about. Sorry. Go ahead, Rob.
No, it's the most important question. So if you're telling us there's a pandemic and now all of a sudden we're finding out that we've had bad record keeping, can you give us an update to this 840,000 person number? Because you've just told us that you do keep the record. So you,
did you catch,
know.
Did you catch how slick she was there?
Yeah, she goes, well, when it comes to Omicron.
He goes, no, but that's not what he asked. He asked about the 840,000. He asked about the entire pandemic. Not Omicron. And her thing about Omicron, we're finding around 40%. Like that was, she said it like it wasn't a real number, but he also switched from the hospitalizations to the death numbers and didn't really. This is why Brett Baier, this isn't actually a good interview. He's just asking her the basic questions that any of us would, but he's not holding her feet to the fire.
Let me
that's what a
Fox.
Good interview. Well, but that's the truth. But what a good interviewer would do is hold her, call her out for any of her bullshit answers. But so he says, This is so obvious that we look. There are numbers that anyone who cared about getting down to the truth of this would want, and they simply will not give us these numbers or even attempt to track them. But here's a number that we would want, right? How many people in the United States of America have died of COVID with zero comorbidities? That's a number that we would want, right? How many people where there was nothing else that was part of why they died have died from COVID? What's that number? That's a really important number to have. And they simply will not tell us what that number is.
You know, that's another good number to have?
Sure.
How many people have died without comorbidities that got treatment early on with ivory or hydroxy type products?
Yes, that would be important too. That would be important too. That'd be interesting to compare those numbers. Like if we actually wanted to figure out what's going on here, we could get to the bottom of this and get a better picture of what's going on. Just get a better picture of what we're really up against here. And so for him to say, well, which one is it here? And she goes, well, with Omicron, we're going to keep track of this and let you know. It's like, that's not what he asked. He asked about the entire pandemic. Do you have these numbers? Can you give us these numbers? How would the head of the CDC not have those numbers memorized? All right. Let's keep playing.
And it takes a few weeks to collect. And of course, Omicron has just been with us for a few weeks, but those data will be forthcoming.
But, you know, the questioning in the Supreme Court also said that Omicron was as deadly as Delta. That is not true, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Omicron is not as deadly as Delta, at least by your data right now, right?
We are starting to see data from other countries that indicate on a person-by-person basis, it may not be. However, given the volume of cases that we're seeing with Omicron, we very well may see death rates rise dramatically.
Pause it.
Okay. Back to the mandate.
Pause it. That's not what a death rate is. Like, I'm sorry. Come on. I mean, he just straight up asks her. He goes, but Omicron is not as deadly as Delta. And she goes, well, according to the evidence we've seen, that may be true. But because it's so much more contagious, the death rate might start to rise. It's like, No. That's not what a death rate is.
So
that's what total deaths would be. Now, you can make the argument that, OK, if there's something with a lower death rate, but it is more contagious, you might end up with a similar total number of deaths or something like that. But that would not be an increase in the death rate. That would just be an increase in the total number of deaths. And what was argued at the Supreme Court was that the death rate was the same. So she just won't even admit it. She won't admit one fact, even when it's so blatantly wrong. She won't admit that it's factually incorrect. She's just going to stick to her talking points. Disgusting.
It's also, you got to acknowledge a person-to-person basis is... like you could say at the beginning of this, on a person to person basis, people are fine when they get this, because she doesn't want to actually say that people who are getting this are not getting as sick. So she wants to say on a person-to-person basis, meaning that there's scattered individuals. Like, that's not the question. The question is the big numbers. When people are getting sick here, are they getting really sick, or is this just not as big of a deal? Well, on a person-to-person basis.
Right.
What the fuck is a person-to-person basis? What is this new stat that you just invented? Like I said, at the beginning of the pandemic, on a person-to-person basis, people are getting this and they're just totally fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what does that even mean? Well, on a person-to-person basis, they might be fine. But on these really extreme cases that we figured, you know, that, oh, it's a little different. Like, okay. This does nothing. This
on a person-to-person basis, I guess you got good odds of winning the lottery. I mean, it's not odds at that point. It's just on a person-to-person basis. Some people win.
Yeah, right.
Do you have good odds? That's the way it is. Do you have good odds of winning the lottery? Well, on a person-to-person basis, people win.
Well, no, it's kind of the opposite. It's kind of the opposite. It's like if you go, do you have good odds of winning the lottery? And you go, well, like they go, well, I've seen that it's very bad odds of winning the lottery. And you're like, well, on a person-to-person basis, that might be true. But if you look at the people who have won the lottery,
right?
You know, they've won it like this. So it's great odds, really. All right. Let's keep playing.
Okay, back to the mandates for a second. People are losing their jobs. More than 220 Marines, sailors, airmen have been kicked out of the military for refusing to get vaccinated. Healthy service members, some of them have circulating antibodies in their blood from past infections, but they're not the antibodies the government recognizes. Is that fair?
You know, I think the thing that's most disruptive to any business or industry is to have half their workforce out because they're sick with COVID. We have seen with the Omicron variant that prior protection protects you less well than it had with the current than it had with prior variants. So having previous infection seems to not protect you as well as against Omicron.
Pause it.
Well, all right. So the first is, saying that prior infection doesn't protect you as well against this variant. Well, does it protect you as well as the vaccine?
Yes.
Because the question here is whether or not you're like, all right.
No, they're right.
Yes.
She's right in what she's saying, but it's so fucking dishonest that what Brett Baer asked was, he goes, well, look, there are these people who are like kicked out, who are healthy young people who have had the virus before. So they have antibodies, but they just don't have the government recognized antibodies. Is that fair? That's Brett Baer's question. Is that fair? And she goes, well, you know, it's not fair. It's having half your workforce out for having COVID. Like, well, okay, that's just neither here nor there. That means nothing. And then she goes, well, what we've seen is that natural immunity doesn't work as well against this variant as it did against previous variants. And that is true. That is true. Because it's a more mutated variant. But it's also true, factually true, that the vaccine doesn't work as well against this variant. So, oh, that's an argument against natural immunity, but it's not an argument against the vaccine, even though it's the same fucking thing. That's like the sleight of hand here. And then, of course, as you say, it's like, well, there was lots of studies to suggest that natural immunity was like way stronger against the Delta variant than the vaccine was. So even if it's not as strong against this one, and the vaccine is also not as strong, do you have evidence that it's not still stronger than the vaccine? Oh, no, you don't. You don't. So it's a fucking bullshit artist. All right. Anything you got to add before we go back, Rob?
That's just it's incredible when you just see it from this lens that it's so evident. These are salespeople. These are high level salespeople who are clearly basically repping the pharmaceutical companies.
I object to you calling her a high level salesperson. She's just not even that good. She's just a saleswoman who's not even doing that great of a job.
I think you're not giving these people dude, to sit in the pocket, smile, nod, be totally unrattled and just speak your narrative. And manage to keep the conversation moving forward. Some high level shit, dude.
Because she's got a willing partner. That's why.
Oh, that's true.
And that's why I'm saying this isn't a
good
interview.
Put her on Rogan.
Even though he's right. Even though he's asking the like some good questions, he's not fucking holding her accountable to what she said. You know? All right, let's keep playing.
Right now, I think the most important thing to do is to protect Americans. We do that by getting them vaccinated and getting them boosted.
Yeah, and I know that's the message, but the Omicron variant is infecting the vaccinated. And the vaccinated are transmitting the virus, correct?
That is true. It's infecting them at a lower rate. And importantly, those people who are vaccinated and infected with Omicron are not the ones who are ending up very sick in the hospital. Those are the people who are unvaccinated.
Right. But will the CDC take natural immunity seriously to study its effect on the big picture? For example, why not include recovery from infection as the equivalent of at least one shot the way other countries do?
We have taken this very seriously. Several months ago, we provided a scientific brief with dozens of studies providing the updated science with this. Of course, that science is ever evolving, as has this variant. And so we need to update that science with regard to what we learn about Omicron, which so far has demonstrated that prior infection protects you less well.
As recently as this past week, President Biden called this a pandemic of the unvaccinated. According to your CDC data, the Omicron variant accounts for 95.4% of cases. Delta is 4.6% of cases. Again, the vaccinated are getting this infection. They're transmitting it to others. Considering all of that and these percentages, how is it that pandemic of the unvaccinated is a terminology that should be used?
You know, we do know that people who are vaccinated are still protected about 70% against infection, especially if they're boosted. So the people who are ending up in the hospital, the people who are ending up very sick with Omicron,
just pause it right there.
Who are unvaccinated.
I just want you to hear that language. That even she goes, we do know that people who are vaccinated are protected at 70%. Especially if they're boosted. Well, which one is it? Are they at 70% or are they at 70% especially if they're boosted? Is it up to 70%? Well, up from what? Like what type of numbers are those to just say? Like, especially if they're boosted. So then they're at 70% if they're boosted, are you saying? Or were they, if they have the two jabs, are they at 70%? Are they up to 70%? What does that mean? 30 to 70%? 0 to 70%? Especially if they're boosted? Then is it a guaranteed 70%? Like this is not how numbers work. This is so fucking dishonest to say things like this. And also for her to just say that we know the vaccinated people aren't getting seriously sick or hospitalized. Well, that's just not true. We know that's not true. Like, that's not even true of children in the hospital for COVID. Even some of them, what was it, like 20% or something like that, were vaccinated. This is so fucking, oof. It's unbelievable, the propaganda that we're living through.
They also revised that 95% number. So if she was being honest in any capacity, she would comment on the fact that they've revised it.
Yeah. That is a good point.
Unless maybe they re-revised it back to that it's the majority of all cases. But I think at one point they were trying to kind of cover their ass for the fact that the vaccine just wasn't working that well. So they were pretending like Omicron, there was more of it than there actually was. But it's almost hard to, you know, keep track of all their bullshit.
Yeah, no, it sure is. All right, let's go back.
Dr. Walensky, you mentioned the confusion about the guidance and over the past year. The most recent example, obviously, is on isolation and testing. But other guidance is the mask wearing, educators being vaccinated before returning to the classroom. Before you took this job officially, you emphasized that one of your primary goals was to restore public trust. But in this time, do you think that it's fair to say that the trust and confidence of the public has gone down with the CDC?
Thank you, Brett. You know, this is hard. We have ever-evolving science with an ever-evolving variant, and my job is to provide updated guidance in the context of rapidly rising cases. And that is what we've done, and I'm here to explain it to the American people, and I'm committed to continuing to do so and to continuing to improve.
And we appreciate you coming on. We really do. Just getting facts out there. I do want to read this quote from this piece looking at how universities are handling this. At Georgetown University, fully vaccinated students are randomly tested for COVID every week using a PCR test, which can detect tiny amounts of dead virus. Asymptomatic students who test positive are ordered to a room in a designated building where they spend 10 days in confinement. Food is dropped off once a day at the door. Now, Georgetown is still using a 10-day quarantine. What do you say to the major companies and universities who are ignoring your new guidance and sticking to the 10 days isolation or quarantine for asymptomatic people?
Yeah, this is really important. And what I would say is that guidance that we've put out is for the general public. I'm committed to wanting to keep schools open and to want to keep universities open. Many of these universities have kids living in multi-person rooms, so they're going to have to adapt our guidance for the safety of their congregate settings.
All right, let's pause it here, and we could just end this because I just can't anymore. But This is what's so sick about this whole thing and what they're doing is that they're trying their best to spin this as kids and college students are who we need to worry about with the COVID. And that's just flies in the face of all of the evidence. I mean, anybody, go look at the charts of by age, how many deaths from COVID there's been. You know, they're robbing young people's lives. And it's completely antithetical to what all of the data suggests we should be doing. It's just sickening.
That the Georgetown policy also doesn't make sense because, firstly, I don't know what PCR threshold they're actually studying things at, but I can tell you certifiably, you will get, or I shouldn't use such strong language. From what I've read, especially at higher PCR, like over 30, you're going to get false positives. And you can have people that either were never like going to get COVID, were never. And essentially, if you're just running PCR tests and people are not symptomatic, you are quarantining people that don't need to be quarantined. There's no way that every single person is a real positive. Now, you're actually kind of creating a more dangerous environment because if you've already quarantined somebody and then they get sick later on, so do you retest those people or do you just assume that if they had a positive a month ago, they definitely can't be positive now? So you probably actually have a policy here where you're putting a false sense of security that it goes back to what you and I have been saying. If you're fucking sick, stay home. If you start testing people when they don't have any symptoms and they probably don't have COVID, and then you're telling them that they do have COVID when they don't, then they're more likely to get a cold at a later point in time and think that they're fine because they had COVID a month ago when you shoved them in a dorm room like a prisoner for no reason.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely
and she knows
right.
it. I'm not more of a scientist than this fucking lady.
No, she knows
can just
it.
Say, hey, you're torturing kids and that's a bad policy. But she wants to go, oh, well, they're in a dorm. And so, you know,
Yeah, we're not even allowed to account for how fucked up that is of a thing to do to somebody. No, I can't even think about that. And we're supposed to sit here and pretend that that's who we need to be concerned about. It's unvaccinated 4-year-olds and fucking 20-year-old healthy fucking young people. That's who we need to be concerned about. All right. We're going to wrap there. That's our show for today. Robbie, we're going to be out in Boston on Thursday and Friday. Come see us out there. We'll tweet. If you check Rob's Twitter or my Twitter, the links are up there, but I'll post them again. Come check us out there. We're going to have a lot of fun in Boston, and then I'll be out in Arizona. We'll both be out in Connecticut. I got a lot of cool stuff coming up.
And I want to get a plug in here. I just put out some great episodes of Run Your Mouth, one with Gene Epstein talking about global warming and the book he's writing. And then if you liked what we just did with that video breakdown, I did more video breakdowns with the head of the CDC. So go check out Run Your Mouth.
Hell yeah, brother. All right. That's our show for today. Catch you next time. Peace.